اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتح آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته My dear sisters, how is everyone today? الحمد لله رب العالمين I hope and pray that everyone is on the highest levels of Iman and Taqwa, enjoying the blessings of Quran and Ramadan, bi-iznillah. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute and the entire team of Journey Through Quran, we welcome you in today's session of Juz 12th, bi-iznillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah of the month. Ya Allah, we seek your help to complete our goal with ihsan and ikhlas. Ya Allah, grant us beneficial knowledge. Ya Allah, make us take Quran's message seriously and help us implement each and every commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ourselves and in our lives. Ameen, summa ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we completed Juz 11th yesterday. And what was the theme of yesterday's Juz? I am soul, subhanAllah. It's just so tempting, you know, like you have seen when any house's soul is written either soul or I am soul. So what a nice feeling to see that, you know, like if you are buying a house and in front of your house it's written I am soul or it's soul. So it's just a nice feeling, alhamdulillah. A cure for hypocrisy. Exactly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If we sell ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, have tawakkul on Him and have rely on whatever His plans are, be happy with it, and inshallah wa ta'ala, that will cure any and every traces of hypocrisy anybody has in their hearts, inshallah wa ta'ala. Yeah, I am soul. And we learned the inside secrets of a very profitable business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You remember? Subhanallah. Such a business deal in which there's absolutely no loss, but such profit which keeps on increasing and increasing. Right? Subhanallah. And do you see any profit in this world which has just the profit and no loss? You know, it's like profit and loss goes side by side. But subhanAllah, the profit, the business deal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, it has just the profit. And there is no loss at all, subhanAllah, in here, in this dunya and hereafter. Both, in both the worlds, we have just profit and profit, subhanAllah. And all of us could not resist but to sell and submit ourselves to it, bismillah. Everybody, you know, like everybody, all these sensible people, so if anybody has a slightest traces of wisdom, they will go for a profitable business. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will, and we have been, you know, we committed ourselves that inshallah wa ta'ala, we will sell ourselves. And tell me, who in their right mind will reject the deal, right? And attending today's journey through Quran shows that we are and we were serious about it, inshallah wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this promise from us and make us among those who sell their souls, who sell themselves, who sell everything, whatever they own for Allah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. We learned that by placing a soul sign on ourselves and selling ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His will, we can and we will cure any traces of hypocrisy within ourselves. We learn that it's our actions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with, right? And not just words. So we have to, first, whatever we say, it should be the truth. and it is what we mean it from bottom of our hearts, and then we will prove with our actions. Because that will, if we say we sell ourselves, we want to sell ourselves, then we have to prove with our actions. Not, it shouldn't be just the words, that, okay, I'm going to sell, you know, like, with no meaning at all. But it should mean, we say it with, if we mean it, it should, you know, show like that, and then, inshallah wa ta'ala, with our actions, we will prove it too. And you know how being truthful can be our savior, right? How we will feel lighter if only we accept our mistakes and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we cry in front of anyone, or we admit any mistake or any wrongdoing we did, so they might listen at that time. But trust me, they will, the moment you turn your back, they will tell 10 different people. Oh, so-and-so committed this. They admitted it, you know, like, or maybe in this day and age, they will record the video, audio, or make a video and make it viral. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, He said, repent and I'll forgive. This is the month of forgiveness. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we will do our level best to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll cry, we'll beg for mercy and rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more loving than 70 mothers. And He will, inshallah wa ta'ala, He will embrace all our wrongdoing and will forgive us. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when a slave of His admit his wrongdoing and repent. And we want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. But it is our ultimate decision that whether we want to be a self-pleaser or people-pleaser or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleaser, right? So if we are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleaser, then we will do what we are saying, inshallah wa ta'ala. And you know what, to be very frank, it does not take a rocket science to understand this. It is as simple as that, whether you do it or you don't do it, right? There is no middle ground into it. No middle part. It's just either right or left. Then we have to do a self-check. What is the level of our struggle? Whether I'm a forerunner or a moderate runner or a slow pacer. So we have to evaluate ourselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our struggles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our excuses, whether genuine or made up ones. Or what is our ability? Because it might be that somebody is more capable or have more strength to struggle than you or some other person, you know, like, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our weaknesses too, our strengths and our weaknesses. So inshallah wa ta'ala, we will rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if we want to receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, then we have to avoid the attitude of a fasiq. Who is a fasiq? A person who makes sins, who is involved in sinful attitudes. We will connect to people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have to spend in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path with open heart. Yes, create corruption. So spending is also, it just, when you do willingly, and happily and in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah wa ta'ala, it will bring you inner peace, serene, you know, like you'll feel so relaxed and so, okay, the feeling of goodness makes you strong. Then we learned there are 5 types of people. Can you write their kinds quickly? Yeah. Quickly, quickly. I hope you have written in your notes. Forefront. Everybody should participate, you know, like it's time for you to see your notes if you have written it properly. Those who follow them. Mm-hmm. And nobody else is writing. Those who seek forgiveness, yeah. Mm-hmm. travel for the sake of Allah, writing slowly though that pray zakat. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So we have to discuss, we want to among who, which group we want to be, finishing when going to masjid. I think we want to acquire all sorts of qualities, inshallah wa ta'ala, right? Alhamdulillah. It is.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Everyone say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن شاء الله. You guys can hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm just wrapping up, Sister Faiza.
No, we were not able to hear you, Sister Rifa, that's why.
Oh, everybody's answering in the chat, so I think it's...
Now we are, but it was gone for a while.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. It was,
yeah. So, what I was saying, that sadqa will extinguish the hellfire, inshallah wa ta'ala. So, it is so very important to spend in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. Alhamdulillah. And we will seek forgiveness, we'll fast, we'll praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll travel for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do sujood, we'll enjoy good and we'll forbid evil. And this is the way we can serve Islam. And inshallah ta'ala, we pray that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who serve Islam in the best way possible. But it is, first thing is learning how we can do that. So inshallah wa ta'ala, for that, we will go to Atlanta, Georgia, where Sister Faiza will inshallah wa ta'ala, we will do just 12th in Journey Through Quran and stay focused, write notes, and inshallah wa ta'ala, we'll do a short recap upon our return. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asim jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A beautiful day, beautiful smile, beautiful people, and a beautiful book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hand. What a perfect combination, subhanallah. Today we have amazing juz and amazing surahs. And we're going to have a continuation of the Surah Al-Hud, and then we'll continue with the new surah, which is Surah Al-Yusuf. And Surah Yusuf is such an amazing surah, like just like any other surahs. Today we have so much to learn. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time, and we can get the most of today's time. And try to be a very active listener, because we have too many gems to share, inshallah. And I hope you're also writing, taking notes, and you have settled your kids well so they don't disturb you that much. And if they do, don't worry about it. They're kids. Kids are supposed to be kids, right? So if they do, it's okay. Don't yell at them. Treat them nicely, because we're going to learn today how to be nice to your family, inshallah. With that, inshallah, let's listen to the recitation of Surah Hud, first few ayahs. And then we'll continue from there, inshallah.
وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كل في كتاب مبين وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان عرشه على الماء ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا ولئن قلت إنكم مبعوثون من بعد الموت ليقولن الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين ولئن أخرنا عنهم العذاب إلى أمة معدودة ليقولن ما يحبسه ألا يوم يأتيهم ليس مصروفا عنهم وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله Today we have an amazing day, an amazing surah, and amazing juz. Juz 12 has the theme of be an active helper of Islam. You know why? Because in this juz we will learn qualities of an effective person who can spread the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say that, the question comes in mind, how can I do that? I don't even know the Quran myself. Today we're going to learn how to become an active da'i and how to become an active helper of Islam. Because if you, the today's theme in the many of the stories of the different prophets, we will learn how did they give da'wah. And we will learn some techniques and the personality that is needed to do this job. Now the question comes in mind, why should we do this job? Why should I become an active member of Islam, active helper of Islam? For that, let's go to the next slide. And in there, we see the connection between Juz 11 and 12, right? If you remember, yesterday we learned the theme was that I am sold to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I do not belong to myself anymore. Once you accept this job and once you put the soul sign on yourself, you need to do something else, right? Now you belong to Allah. When you belong to Allah, when you make this decision, conscious decision that, oh Allah, I am made out of molding clay and then you can mold me the way you want. Now in Juz 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assigning you a job. Because once you give up, you need to do something, right? So you need to have a next step. You need to have a next plan. And the plan is in this juz. And what is the next step? The next step is accept the assigned job. What is the assigned job? The job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chose for you and I. You know why? Because up until Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, this job was assigned to specific people who were made prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know it is part of our belief, it is part of our iman that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last and final messenger, right? So after him, nobody else is coming until the day of judgment. And on the last sermon on the Hajjatul Wida, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this job to you and I. And what is the job? The job is to connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simple. You don't have to become a scholar to do that. You don't have to become an alim to do that. You don't have to become a really big ulama and a group of sheikh and shayukh and all those things. You do not need to do that. You only need to just think of a mindset that now I am here to accept the job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us and the job that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has assigned us. And what is the job? And who is the assigner of this job? Let's understand that. The assigner of this job is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. How do we know that? Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us before leaving this world that now everybody who is present there in the Hajjatul Wida, the sermon of the last Hajj, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this job to all of his ummati. Whoever is present, they should pass on this message to the next generation and the next people. My question to you and I is that are we a part of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah? If we are, then do we have this job? If we do, then should we transfer this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the next generation? And if we do, then how can we do that? And if we don't do it, then who's going to carry this torch of Islam? The non-believers are going to come and carry it, or somebody else is going to do this job? The question is, today's Ummah needs to realize that we are the one, I am the one who is given this job. Until and unless we take this title upon us personally, this job will not be done. So, the job title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned us is that we are recruiter. Recruiter of what? Recruiter of deen, recruiter of iman. And this unique job, the salary is amazing and the description is amazing and the reward is amazing. Because when you work for the job of this dunya, they give you a contract, you sign and you get paid for what you do or you get paid for what you don't do. Sometimes, you know, employer hire people and people get paid monthly paycheck, whether they work hard that month or whether they work very little that month or whether they didn't work at all, they are paid. But in the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are only paid when you do the job in here also and in the hereafter. And the job description is connect people to their creator. And the salary that is offered is unlimited. We have no idea how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward because this is a job that is a sadaqah jariyah. And the sadaqah jariyah can multiply in many folds, the unlimited count. Because imagine, it's because of you, if your child knows the kalima and he teaches to his child and he teaches to his, and this chain continues until the day of judgment, imagine. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give how much reward for you and I. This is why the people came and gone, but their name is still alive. From the Adam alayhi salam until the time of ours, even the scholars of today, when they leave the world, their work is still there. Their teachings are still there. So if you and I want to take this job, you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us? Free accommodation, and that is called Jannah. And how long we're going to stay there for? Forever. Because we know from a hadith, when a person dies this in this dunya, when they enter the other world, there is no death. Death will be brought upon on the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the death die. It will come in a form of an animal. And people who die once in this dunya, once they enter the other world, they will never die. So that means, if we accept this job, we will have the free accommodation in Jannah forever, including all the extra perks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has listed throughout the Quran in the description of the Jannah. I wish we can have time to really describe what Jannah has, what is it look like, because no eye has seen what Jannah can hold, and no ear can really imagine, and no mind can really think of how Jannah is going to be. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it as a surprise. In this dunya, when we do something, when we get surprises from our family members, it makes us happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has surprises such big that we have no idea how they're going to be. So now, inshallah, with that mindset, you know what we need to do next? We need to have a help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because without help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you and I cannot do. We cannot even lift a finger. Imagine that doing a job of helping people and then connecting them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there are many different ways we can do that. We will talk about it towards the end of the juz, but for now, I want you to go to the next slide and learn this dua. Because without the dua, nothing is possible. We need Allah's help to do that, right? So the dua is, Allahumma, O Allah, inni, indeed, as'aluka, I ask you, minal khayri kullihi, I ask you for all the goodness, ajilihi wa ajilihi, of the hastened ones, meaning this world, and ajilihi, meaning the delayed world, which is hereafter. Ma alimtu, from what I know and what I do not know. And what else you're asking in this dua? Ma alimtu minhu wa ma lam alam wa a'udhu bika min sharri kullihi ajilihi wa ajilihi wa ma alimtu minhu wa ma lam alam. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from all the evil of the hastened ones, this world, and of the delayed ones, meaning the hereafter, from what I know and what I do not know. This hadith is in Ibn Majah. This dua is taught by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this dua, what are you asking? You are asking that I need goodness of this world and the delayed one. You know how? How are you going to get both of these? By working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by contracting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have already done that yesterday. And now accepting the job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering us in this shoes. If you go to the, now we're going to begin Surah Al-Hud. In Surah Al-Hud, ayah number 1 to 5, what do we learn here? That Quran is perfect. This is why we need to connect people with this Quran, inshallah. In first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Ra, Kitabun Uhkimat Ayatuhu Thumma Fussilat Min Ladun Hakim Min Khabir. Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Ra. This is a book whose verses are perfected. Notice here, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, the verses of this Quran are uhkimat, meaning they are perfect, and then presented in detail. Fussilat means detail, from the one who is wise and acquainted. Meaning, this Quran that we have, it is not something very small. Sometimes people don't even value that they can hold the Quran, they can touch the Quran, they can see the Quran. This is basically a word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created you and this heaven that you live in, and this that you see the skies and the earth. It is by him, and who is Al-Hakim, the most wise, the most khabir, meaning the most knowing. He is well acquainted. He knows everything. With that mindset, if we open this book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up our heart. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the heart of those that who opened their heart for this book. But why? Because this is the book that can lead you to Jannah. So, in ayah number 2, through a messenger saying, do not worship except Allah. Indeed, I am to you from him a warner and a bringer of a good tidings. And saying, seek forgiveness of your Lord. Ayah number 3, I want you to highlight this ayah. You know why? Because in this ayah, we're giving a very good activity to do for ourselves. And that is something that gives us forgiveness, and also it gives us this dunya too. So what do we learn in this? Seek forgiveness of your Lord and repent to him, and he will let you enjoy a good provision. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if a person seeks forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him good provision. What do we understand here? That the good provision is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For who? For the one is who seeks forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a specified term, and give every doer of favor his favor. But if you turn away, then indeed I fear for you the punishment of the great day. What do we learn here? The importance of istighfar. You know why? Because there will be an ayah coming there too, and we will learn in detail. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you and I may be in some kind of a trouble, and some kind of a financial help we need, and some kind of any other problem we have, the istighfar is a solution for any and all problems. You know why? Because the person who does istighfar from the bottom of his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides him from places that he cannot even imagine, beyond his normal imagination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the door of mercy for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him and provides him the way that he cannot even imagine. How is he getting all these things? There are so many people who went through this istighfar, and they share their story like that. And you know, there was this person who was a baker. He used to make breads, and he brought this one person from the masjid, because this person needed a place to stay, and his name was Imam Ahmad Hanbal. But the person, the baker, didn't know that, right? So he brought this person home, and he said, You can sleep in my place, but there's only one problem. Since I am a baker, so I bake my bread. I make my bread at night. So for tomorrow morning, it is ready. So is that okay with you? He said, yes, it's okay. No, don't worry about it. So when the baker started baking, making the bread, you know what he did? Every time he would take out something, he would make and he would say, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Every time he would take out the flour and go to the next step, and he would say Astaghfirullah. So this person asked, why do you say so? He said, because of this Astaghfirullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted all my du'as. Meaning, I didn't have much risk, and I was very constrained with risk. And when somebody told me to say istighfar, I started saying it. And from then on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided me so much so. And so this person asked, wow, mashallah, so is there anything, any other benefit that you gain from saying istighfar besides financial gain? He said, yes. All of my du'as are accepted, but except one du'a, which I am saying now is the far for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listen to my du'a, that one is left. So this person asked, what is the du'a? He said, you know, I heard that in another town, there's a person called Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and I want to meet him. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, when he heard that, he said, he smiled. He said, you know, your du'a is accepted because I am Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. This is the power of istighfar that you and I learn. So inshallah, in this month of Ramadan and moving on for the rest of the 11 months, try to make a habit. You know, like we breathe in and out, we don't know if we're breathing. We don't pay attention, right? Because it's habit. It comes in naturally. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make istighfar that it comes naturally to your tongue and mine. Hassan al-Basri, he was once hired by a porter, and the porter was saying constantly Astaghfirullah or Alhamdulillah. So he asked him, why are you saying that? He said, why shouldn't I say that? Because I came to learn in the Quran, and I have come to learn that the servant is between two matters. One is Alhamdulillah and one is Astaghfirullah. Meaning, Alhamdulillah for everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Meaning, Allah, you are perfect. And then Astaghfirullah, for every sin that I do, meaning, oh Allah, I am imperfect. What a perfect combination. Alhamdulillah, for every goodness, you are perfect. Astaghfirullah, for every sin, because I am imperfect. And this is what the road to Jannah is, inshallah. So, next we learn here is ayah number 4. To Allah is your return. Notice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Allah is your return, and He is over all things competent. And unquestionably, the disbelievers turn away their breasts to hide themselves from Him. Meaning that Allah, the disbelievers deny and they still turn away. Unquestionably, even when they cover themselves in their clothing, Allah knows what they conceal and what they declare. Indeed, He is knowing of which is within the hearts of the people. So the fact is that even if a person hides from one another, he can never hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson from all this is, Quran is full of hikmah. It gives hikmah. The person who comes to Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them hakeem. And istighfar is the key to all provisions. And Allah ever knows the darkest of the secrets that we hide all the time. So in ayah number 6 to 8, what do we learn? From here, the juz 12 starts, and we learn here, وَمَا مِنْ دَعْبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Risk comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is so important to understand that. Before even telling us that risk comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us the means of risk, the key of risk, and risk, the key to the risk was Astaghfirullah. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and there is no creature on earth but that upon Allah is its provision. وَيَعْلِمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَهَا. And He knows its place of dwelling and its place of storage. كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah is a clear. All is in a clear register. What do we learn here? We learn here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word dabba. What is dabba? Dabba is any creature. any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think about it, how many creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do you and I know? Not much, because we cannot even count. It's not even possible, because each creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much variety. Just take humans. There's so many. There are so many, countless. Then you think about the creatures that crawl, the creatures that walk, the creatures that are four-legged, the creatures that are reptile, the creatures that are inside the earth. The creatures that are over the earth, the creatures that are inside the ocean, the creatures that stay on the trees, the creatures that fly, the creatures that we see with our naked eyes, but the creature that we don't see, like viruses and bacteria. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide everyone, everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying their risk is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what it means? It means that as a human, we should have complete reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not be worried about our risk, because you cannot go from this world. A death cannot come to a person until he receives the risk that he's supposed to receive. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed this risk. You know why? So a person can free himself to do the job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. But this is not what we see in this dunya. We see people running for the risk, as if they don't run for it, they will not get it. Yes, you are supposed to work for it, no doubt about that. You are supposed to do your share to earn the risk, and that's it. But when people make themselves go crazy and that's all they have in their mind, especially fathers, when they work, they working day and night and they hardly give time and realize that they have a family to take care, they have Allah to take care, and Allah has already promised the risk. And you know what? When a person works for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah opens up the doors of the risk for him from a way that beyond his imagination. This is why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you relied upon Allah like the creation relies, then you would be like the birds who go out of their homes empty stomach every morning, and they are fulfilled in the every evening. Why? Because when the bird leaves home, it doesn't know that he's going to get food or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for that bird. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, would the son of Adam run from his provision the way he runs from death? Meaning, you know, people run away from death. We can ask this question ourselves too. Are we running away from death, or are we running towards the death, meaning preparing for the death? So what we learn in this hadith is, like people run away from their death, if they run away from their provision and just the same way as they run away from their death, so the way he runs from the death, his provision would reach him just as death would reach him. What do we learn here? Meaning, the risk that is written upon you, a decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it cannot change. It cannot stop. Whether you run for it or not, it will come to you. You will not die. And people who run away from death, even they cannot even die until they receive all the risk that's supposed to be given to them. This ayah should free our mind and soul for moving forward for the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The talk we had in the beginning, that we are here to do an establishment of deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and His throne had been upon water. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in this ayah number 7, you can write down the subtopic that this ayah gives the reason that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. Not to earn risk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already made it clear in the ayah number 6 that you are not here to earn risk, and not to do anything else, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already told us that if you do istighfar, I will give you, provide you anything. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, highlight this part, liyabluwakum. Highlight it and memorize it and remember it, because this is it. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا. That he might test you as to which of you is best in deeds. So, what do we learn here? You and I are being judged. You and I are being observed keenly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. how do you do when the hardship comes, and how or who is the one who does ahsan amal. So what is the ahsan amal? Ahsan amal is an action which is great action according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. What is according to sunnah? Why? Because here we learn that no pleasure of this life is a reward, and no pain, no hardship, no discomfort in this life is a punishment. You know why? Because this is nothing. We are here being tested by these two things. And if we don't really fulfill this paper of goodness and happiness and the sadness that comes in our life the way by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that means we have failed. Think of this world as a huge, big examination hall. When a child is sitting in examination hall, what does he do? He's putting his paper, he's filling his questions, answering the questions, right? So we need to do the same thing. This world is an examination hall. You and I are given different papers, a paper of a son, a paper of a daughter, a paper of a world, a paper of the health, a paper of the wealth, paper of the comfort, all these subjects that Allah SWT has given us, and we have to fill these papers. How? For example, if Allah SWT has given you health, He will ask you this question, what did you do with your health? And what answer are we going to give? Allah SWT has given us children, He will ask you this question, how are you raising your children? What did you do with your children? Did you consider them as a property to yell at and just to rely upon when you get old, they're going to take care of you? Or you're raising them to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you giving them the mindset to make the best out of this world? Or are you giving the mindset to make the best out of the hereafter world? And the next question will be, did you prepare for the akhirah? Or what you are going to write in that paper? So in this dunya, every single day, we are writing a paper. We are filling a questionnaire. And if the answers are not according to the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, then it's going to be regrets and nothing else. So basically, in this ayah, know the purpose of the life. Why are we created? Because, if you were to say, indeed, you are resurrected after death, those who disbelieve will surely say, this is not but obvious magic. And if we hold back from them the punishment for a limited time, they will surely say, why detains it? Unquestionably, on the day it comes to them, it will not be averted from them. Highlight this part. It will not be averted from them, and they will be enveloped by what they used to ridicule. So the lesson we learn in this paragraph is, risk is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, give us tawfiq that we truly understand this statement. And this world is an examination hall. We're being tested every single day for every single thing that we have. And we have to prepare for the exam of akhirah. And that's the ultimate goal. And know the purpose of the life. Ayah number 9 to 24, we learn blessings and hardships are two examination paper. And exactly, وَلَئِنْ أَزَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمًا. And if we give man a taste of mercy from us, ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَهَا, and then we withdraw it from him, إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. Indeed, he is despairing and ungrateful. We can ask this question to ourselves. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests me with some kind of a pain or affliction, how do I react? Do I get hopeless? Do I despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do I give up? Do I feel like crying? And do I think that never is going to be solved, all these problems I have to live with? Or am I a grateful servant? You know why? Because a grateful servant is happy even in sad times, even in the most distressful time. They're still happy. Their heart is still content. May Allah make us among those. But if we give him a taste of favor after hardship had touched them, he will surely say, bad times have left me, meaning now I am so fortunate, now I am okay. And they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, he is exultant and boastful, meaning when people forget the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describing them that they are exultant and boastful. Inna lazina صبروا وعملوا الصالحات except for those who are patient and do righteous deeds. May Allah make us among those. Those will have forgiveness and great reward, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them something beyond their imagination. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah has decreed for a servant a rank which he has not attained by his action, Allah afflicts him in his body or his property or his children, and then he enables him to endure that. Ayah number 12. Then would you possibly leave out some of what is revealed to you, or is your breast constrained by it? Because they say, why has there not been sent down to him a treasures or come with him an angel? But you are only a warner, and Allah is disposer of all things. Or do they say he invented it? Say, then bring 10 surahs like it that have been invented, and call upon for assistance whomever you can besides Allah if you should be truthful. And if they do not respond to you, فَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ, then know that the Quran was revealed with the knowledge of Allah, and that there is no deity except Him. Then would you not be Muslims? مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهُ مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا, whoever desires the life of this world and its adornment, meaning he only pursues the attractions of this world, and نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا, we fully repay them for their deeds again therein, وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ, and they therein will not be deprived. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ, those are the ones for whom there is not in the hereafter but the fire, and lost is what they did therein, meaning whatever we are accumulating in this dunya, it will be lost. Whatever we will take with us, it's a good deed, amal-e saleh, because that's the only thing they can take with us. No matter how big of a house we have, no matter how huge of a wardrobe we have to leave behind. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا, so whoever is, everything is here, it's going to be wasted. وَبَاطِلُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and worthless is what they used to do. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really give us priority. We need to do something. You know, sometimes people live all their life thinking that's all they need to be doing. That's all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them. Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. So, is one who stands upon a clear evidence from his Lord like the affirmation, and a witness from him follows it? And before it was the scripture of Musa to lead, and as mercy. Those believers in the former revelations believe in the Quran, but whoever disbelieves in it from the various factions, the fire is promised destination. So be not in doubt about it. Indeed, it is the truth from your Lord, but most of the people do not believe. And who is more unjust than he who invents a lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah save us from inventing a lie upon Allah. Those will be presented before their Lord, and witness will say, there are the ones who lied against their Lord. Unquestionably, the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers. Who averted people from the way of Allah and sought to make it seem deviant while they concerning the hereafter were disbelievers? Those were not causing failure to Allah on earth, nor did they have besides Allah any protector. For them the punishment will be multiplied. They were not able to hear, nor did they see, meaning not physically but not hear the message. Those are the ones who will have lost themselves, and lost for them is what they used to invent. Assuredly, it is they in the hereafter who will be the greatest losers. Ayah number 23. Inna ladhina amanu wa amilu salihati. The opposite picture. And what is this? Wa akhbatu. After amali salih they do. Akhbatu. Ila rabbihim ulaik ashabul jannah. Hum fiha khalidun. Indeed, those who believe, those who have believed and done righteous deeds and humble themselves to their Lord. Three things are listed here. Belief and righteous deed followed by humbleness. You know why? Because humbleness, this word akhbatu comes from ikhbat. What is ikhfat? Ikhfat is basically being fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon doing anything wrong. It is much easier to do anything right, but when people are stopped from doing something wrong, it is not possible. So this is the quality you and I really need to try to develop on ourselves. You know why? Because ikhfat is something that is basically doing simply everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that after doing, person doesn't stop and he wants to do more. And when taqwa comes in, the fear comes in and the person fears sinning. You know, these are the person who has the ikhfat, who is so fearful before doing the sin. You know, there are three levels of people. Sometimes people do the sin and they feel bad after that. That's one thing. Then another person is, the person when they're in the middle of doing something, they realize that they shouldn't be doing it and they feel bad about that. And then there's another person who even before doing the sin, he feels bad about it and he stops himself. So you and I can realize where we want to be. After doing the sin, we do not feel bad, or while doing the sin, or before doing the sin. So when ikhfat comes in, a person realizes it before doing the sin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be very angry with me. I am fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not going to do. So this is something we need to humble. And the lesson here is that, وَأَخْبَتُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ. Those who humble themselves before Allah, they will reap the fruit, they will reap the benefits of ibadah. Ayah number 24, the example of the two parties is like the blind and the deaf. Which two parties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? The one who learns and the one who doesn't. And seeing and hearing, are they equal in comparison? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you with a comparison that can you find out? Do you know that, do you think that blind and deaf are the one who is seeing and hearing can be equal? This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, so make it easy for us. They will not be, and then will you not remember after giving the answer? So that what we learn from this paragraph is that smart is the one who keeps balance in life. Don't go overboard in happiness and don't go over sad in sadness, because they both come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't work for appreciation, meaning don't ask any people to appreciate you. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you should expect appreciation from, and take criticism positively and be confident about your deen. Don't dilute the deen, don't make it too harsh. And ungrateful ones lose their blessings. And if you are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you and they are always happy themselves. Check your iman based on how you react in these two papers, because blessings and hardship, they both are tests. And ikhbat, we need to develop, inshallah, the fearfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next paragraph, from ayah number 25 to 35, we learn people worship what they see. People don't want to believe in something that they do not see. Since they don't see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't see the akhirah, they forget about it. So, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. And we have certainly sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people, saying, indeed, I am to you a clear warner that you do not worship except Allah. Indeed, I fear for you the punishment of the painful day. So, the eminent among those who disbelieve from his people said, we do not see you but as a man like ourselves, and we do not see you followed except by those who are of the lowest of us. And first suggestion, meaning, and we do not see you in over us any merit, meaning you don't have any status, you don't have any wealth, you don't have any special stuff coming out of your ears, you don't have any protocol, so why should we believe you? He said, O my people, have you considered if you should be upon clear evidence from your Lord, from my Lord, why he has given me mercy from himself, but it has been made unapparent to you? Should we force it upon you while you are averse of it? وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. And, O my people, I ask not of you for any wealth. See the direct message Nuh alayhi salam is giving. Herein we are learning the sequence of dawah, and people are really criticizing him, but he gave the message and he's not asking any money for it, right? So if they're not asking any money, then people should accept. What is the hidden agenda? Nothing. Only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still people don't accept it. وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ. And O my people, I ask not of you for it any wealth. My reward is not but from Allah. The lesson here is that only Allah can repay when we work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the action item here is that do not expect any result because you will not get it. People who work for people, they appreciation, they get very upset. You know, when a person goes and they say, oh, I'm all dressed up, giving ready to give da'wah and a beautiful lecture and I was all prepared, only two people showed up. It's going to make them sad. So what we learn here is that don't expect anything in this dunya, because even if no one shows up and we're trying to say something, Allah will give you the reward. That's the bottom line. So, and am I not one to drive away those who have believed? Indeed, they will meet their Lord. These are the steps that we can teach people and learn from. But I see that you are a people who are behaving ignorantly. In ayah number 30, we learn. And, O my people, who would protect me from Allah if I drove them away? And then will you not be reminded? And I do not tell you that I have the depositories containing the provision of Allah, or that I know the unseen, nor do I tell you that I am an angel, nor do I say of those upon whom your eyes look down that Allah will never grant them any good. Allah is most knowing and what is within their souls. Indeed, I would then be among the wrongdoers. Meaning he's saying, look, I don't have anything. I don't want anything returned from you, not even appreciation. How come you're not listening? They said, oh no, you have disputed us and been frequent in dispute with us. Look, they're accusing him. What do we learn here? People may accuse you when you come for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but take the criticism. It's okay because you're not doing it for them. They said, you are disputing with us, so bring us what you threaten us if you should be of the truthful. He said, Allah will only bring it to you if he wills, and you will not cause him any failure, meaning it's not within my control. And my advice will not benefit you, although I wish to advise you. This is the ayah highlighted. This is the effects of da'wah. This is the steps of da'wah. If we can take it, inshallah. If Allah should intend to put you in error, he is your Lord. And to him, you will be returned. Or do they say about Prophet, he invented it? Say, if I have invented it, then upon me is the consequences of my crime. But I am innocent of what crimes you commit. What do we learn in this paragraph? We learn about the sequence of the da'wah. We learn how to take the criticism and do not feel bad about it. And we learn our job is to give message only. There are three things you can focus on, right? Some people try to convey, some people try to convince, and some people try to convert. Which one should you do? No convincing and no converting, only conveying the message. Because this is what is required by it. And you know who can do that? The one who is humble. So that first we have to humble ourselves. Only then we can give the message. And free yourself from any kind of criticism and any kind of appreciation. And be a well-wisher of others. This is one of the quality and the steps of the da'wah. Unless you are well-wisher of others, you won't be able to connect them with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are not responsible for their action. Your job, even if they don't come to Allah in the book and the Quran, it's okay because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you about that. In the next paragraph from ayah number 36 to 46 to 49, we learn, inshallah, وَأُوحِي إِلَى نُوحٍ وَأُوحِي إِلَى نُوحٍ. And it was revealed to Nuh that no one will believe from your people except those who have already believed. So do not be distressed by what they have been doing, and construct the ship under our observation and our inspiration, and do not address me concerning those who have wronged. Indeed, they are to be drowned. Nuh alayhi salam, when he was giving the da'wah and people were not listening, what happened next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, they're not listening. Now I want you to make this ship. And imagine there was no water there. And he was given this job to make the ship. People were making fun of him. People were mocking him. People were calling him names. People were turning him away. And he was not listening to them. You know why? Because he learned, we have to learn also that ignore people, whatever they say. If people call you terrorists, ignore them. If people call you dumb and really weird looking and weirdly dressed up, it's okay. Because he was making the ship in a dry land. It must be so hard for him, you know, but he did it. You know why? Because he knew his eyes were on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I am the one who's going to guide you. And this is what happens when people live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave them direct guidance. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, وَنَسْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَيُّنِنَا وَوَحِينَا. We will teach you how to build a ship. وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And do not address me concerning those who have wronged. Indeed, they are to be drowned. And he constructed the ship. And whenever an assembly of the eminent of his people passed by him, they ridiculed him. What do we learn here? That people will ridicule if you work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's okay. You shouldn't be shy. You shouldn't stop. Nuh alayhi salam never gave up his target. And that was to connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if you ridicule us, then we will ridicule you just as you ridicule. And you are going to know who will get a punishment that will disgrace him on earth and upon whom will descend an enduring punishment in the hereafter. So it was until when our command came and our oven overflowed. Meaning the flood, the Nuh's flood was really, really huge flood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, now there is no more goodness in these people. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's time for them to go. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nuh alayhi salam by building this ark. And everyone who was in the ark were saved. And everyone who was outside of the ark, they were drowned. We said, load upon the ship of each creature 2 maids and your family, except those about whom the world has preceded, meaning that only the believers will be loading on this ship, not everybody else, and include whoever has believed. But none had believed with him except few. How long Nuh alayhi salam gave the da'wah? 950 years. How many people came? Only around 70 people, plus minus few. What do we learn from this? Your job and my job is not to get into the counting of the people, but only to give dawah. Whether you see the results or not, whether you see none of the person coming or not, whether you see any of them, all of them denying you, it doesn't matter. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, that even after Nuh alayhi salam's sincerity, only few people came. Ayah number 41. وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مُجْرَيْهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Nuh said, embark therein in the name of Allah. This is what we learn here. Every time when you get onto any kind of vehicle, say the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, do everything with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Its course and its anchorage. Indeed, my Lord is forgiving and merciful. وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. And it sailed with them through waves like mountains. Now try to imagine. The earth that we see right outside in our window, it's all dry. And the water is coming from the top and the water is coming from the earth, meaning inside the earth, and everywhere is water and nothing else. Imagine. Don't you think that's like locking down in the boat? Think about it. These people who were locked down in this boat for 40 days and they had no place to go and they had no place to live and no dry land. Can you imagine? That was a lockdown. And Nuh called out to his son who was apart. Notice here, a call of a father for their son, for his son. Nuh alayhi salam was a prophet. He gave da'wah to everybody, but one of his son went stray. What do we learn from this? You know, guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I need to do our job to the best of our ability. And if something happens, at least you can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I did my job. The problem here is that people either don't do anything or they do too much. People lose the balance of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. Some mothers say, you know, if Allah wills, He will guide my kids. So I'm just going to live my life. And some mothers say, I have to do everything for them. I have to make sure they do this and they do this. And then when they overdo it, their kids also turn away. In the case of Musa, Nuh alayhi salam, he had four sons. Three of them were good sons, and the fourth one went astray. Do you know why? Because he got into a bad company. And he said to his son, "Oh, my son, come aboard and with us and be not be with the disbelievers." Because of his son, he loved him. He wanted him to be saved. So he invited him. But he said, "I will take refuge on the mountain to protect me from the water." Look at the reply of the son in ayah number 43, that he said, "I will take refuge in the mountain." He became materialistic. He didn't realize the God. You know, this is what we see today too. People are becoming materialistic so much. They rely on their resources so much. They rely on the technology so much. They rely on science so much. They say, we don't need God in our life. Today, atheism is on the rise because of that, because people are materialistic. And he became materialistic. And he said, this mountain will save me. You know what Nuh alayhi salam responded? He said, "There is no protector today from the decree of Allah." And you know, this is so true. There is no protector anyway from the decree of Allah. When it comes, it will happen. Things will happen. You and I cannot do anything to stop them, except for whom He gives mercy. This is why we need to do istighfar in abundance, so we can receive mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the waves came between them, and he was among the drowned. What do we learn here? Even the prophet's son did not believe, and he was not spared. It's not like he was a son of a prophet that he'll be forgiven and he will be saved. This is the perception people, generally speaking, Muslim ummah have. My father is a good father, so I will be saved. I don't have to do anything. My mother is a pious woman, and I belong to this sheikh family, and that such and such renowned scholar, he's my uncle, so I'm going to be saved. No. Everyone is responsible for their own deeds. And the lesson here is that Nuh alayhi salam was trying to guide his son, but he did not give up, right? And we can learn here, we all have to try to guide our children, but rely upon Allah and never ever give up. Ayah number 44. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي مَعَكَ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغَيْزَ الْمَاءُ. And it was said, "O earth, swallow your water, and O sky, withhold your rain." And the water subsided, and the matter was accomplished, and the ship came to rest on the mountain of Judea. And it was said, "Away with the wrongdoing people." Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided it was enough flood, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the same water to go back in, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the same water to come and pour upon them. What do we learn from here? Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can put the floods out and He can take the floods away. He can make us drown and He can make us save. All we have to do is just live for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is nothing we can control. وَنَادَى نُوحٌ رَبَّهُ. And Nuh alayhi salam called to his Lord and said, "My Lord, indeed, my son is of my family, and indeed your promise is true, and you are the most just of judges." Meaning, he made dua that, "Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my son died, my son was destroyed, and you said you were going to save the people." So what we learn here is that relationship is based upon what? Blood or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. The relationship that is based on the deen is more stronger than the relationship based upon the blood. Because blood relationship, brother and brother can kill each other, which we're going to learn the Habil and Qabil story. And you know, sometimes sister and brother become enemies of each other. But when we have one thing in common, and that is the deen, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your son was son only by blood only, but he was not a son, he was not a believer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need to save unbelievers. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Show mercy and you will be treated with mercy. Forgive and you will be forgiven." So the lesson here is that be a well-wisher for people. If try to the last breath all the time, every time. Never say, "You know, I've been calling this friend of mine for so many days and she's not coming, so I'm not just going to invite her anymore." So what do we learn here? That be a person who invites people and connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 46. قَالَ يَا نُوحٌ. He said, "Oh no, indeed, he is not of your family. When the trumpet will be blown, then there will be no relationship remaining between people." What do we learn here? And the trumpet will be blown in Surat al-Mu'mineen, ayah number 101, we learn that no relationship will remain between people except the relationship of hidayah, except the guidance. So this is why we need to develop relationship with people and make a group of guidance and the people who are on the hidayah, because they will be the one who are together there. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Indeed, he is not of your family. It is such a big sentence, highlighted. Today, people spend time and make excuses. It is my family I need to feed. It is my family I need to work. I don't have time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed, he's not even from your family. Indeed, he is one whose work was other than righteous. What do we understand? Take family along. We cannot go to Jannah alone. We have to work for our family. We have to invite them. We have to connect them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ask me not for that about which you have no knowledge. Meaning, indeed, I advise you to lest you be among the ignorant. So what do we learn here? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everything, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ. Nuh alayhi salam said, my Lord, I seek refuge in you from asking that which I have no knowledge. What do we learn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the knowledge, and Nuh alayhi salam is admitting that yes, he doesn't have knowledge. Who was he? He was a prophet. What is he saying? I have no knowledge. What do people say nowadays? Oh, I am knowledgeable. I have this knowledge. I know how to do these things. I know this and I know that. And look at the Prophet. He's saying, yes, I have no knowledge. He is admitting that the complete knowledge only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So let's make ourselves humble and go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I am unaware. You guide me. Oh Allah, I have no knowledge. You give me knowledge. And unless you forgive me and have mercy upon me, I will be among the losers. Look at the beautiful dua he's asking. First he's admitting that he has no knowledge. Then he's saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me and have mercy upon me. And if you don't have mercy, I will be among the losers. This is called ikhbar. This is humbleness. Even despite of working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 950 years, this is what Nuh alayhi salam is saying. And what do we learn here? Beg Allah for your mercy. Become a beggar in front of him. Cry your heart out when you say Astaghfirullah. You know, when people say Astaghfirullah and the tasbih of Astaghfirullah 100 times or more, it doesn't matter because it's a lip service. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want lip service. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a heart service. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the service of the heart. I can really have this ikhbar. Make dua. And ayah number 48, it was said, O Nuh, disembark in security from us and blessing upon you and upon nations descending from those with you, but other nations of them we will grant enjoyment, then there will touch them from us a painful punishment. And that is from the news of the unseen, which we reveal to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You did not know, neither you nor your people before this. So be patient. Indeed, the best outcome is for the righteous. What did we learn? Be patient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shall give you what we deserve, inshallah, and that is Jannah. From ayah number 50 to 60, we learn the story of Hud alayhi salam. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. And to Ad, we send their brother Hud. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. You are not but inventors of falsehood. O my people, I do not ask you for any reward. My reward is only from the one who created me. Then will you not reason? وَيَا قَوْمِ. And O my people, ask forgiveness of your Lord and then repent to Him. He will send rain from the sky upon you in showers and increase you in the strength and added your strength. And do not run away. Do not turn away being criminals. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying beautiful ayah. Ayah number 52 highlighted. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you do repent to Allah, if you ask forgiveness, if you seek forgiveness, Allah will give you what? Yursil as-samaa'a alaykum midrara. He will send down on you showers of rain. Blessings will fall down from the sky. Midrara is a beautiful word that means continuous falling down of the blessings in the form of rain. You know why? Because through this rain, people have cultivation, people grow crops, and people make businesses, and that's where the livelihood continues. Basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the one who asks forgiveness, I will provide them midrara. So this is such a beautiful ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you because of your istighfar. No, we are just moving the tongue. You're not even doing anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making things for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is facilitating everything for you. You know, when a person does istighfar a lot in abundance, things get done around him. And people are surprised, and he himself is surprised. How come? I didn't even thought of that job, and somebody else did it for me. How come I was just wanting to get this food, and somebody just brought it over for me? And how come I was longing for this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just bestowed upon me? This is how things work. And people really, truly, sincerely give up their heart in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by asking istighfar over and over again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them the way they cannot even imagine. And of course, وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَّا قُوَّتِكُمْ. Whatever strength, ability you already possess, Allah will give you more of that. What do we learn here? Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wants istighfar from us. The rest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate, and He will give you even more what you have. But لَبَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْ مُجْرِمِينَ. But guess what happened? Mujrimeen, they turn away. And Prophet ﷺ would show in his finger four things that you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are those four things? Allahumma filli warhamni wahdini warzukni. What does that mean? That you seek forgiveness, maghfira, you seek rahmah, and you seek hidayah, and warzukni. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me. And then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah and rest, for guidance and provision. And the Prophet ﷺ said that these words gather for you the benefits of your life here and in the hereafter. Such a beautiful dua. Ayah number 53. They said, O Hud, you have not brought us clear evidence, and we are not one to leave our gods on your say-so, nor are we the believers in you. Ayah number 54. We only say that some of our gods have possessed you with evil. He said, indeed, I call to Allah to witness, and witness yourself, and I am free from whatever you associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the next step of da'wah. Free yourself. I am only a witness. I am not a converter here. Ayah number 55. Other than Him. So, plot against me altogether, then do not give me respite. He's challenging people. Go ahead and do that. Indeed, I have relied upon Allah. Question. Do we rely upon Allah for everything, for risk, for everything? My Lord and your Lord, there is no creature but that He holds its forelaw. Meaning, my forehead is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is going to decide for me. He has already decided for me. I need to just give up myself and stop this friction that is going on in our lives. Indeed, my Lord is on the path that is straight. But if they turn away, say, I have already conveyed that with which I have sent to you, my Lord will give succession to a people other than you, and you will not harm at all. You will not harm him at all. Indeed, my Lord is over all things guardian. And when our command came, we saved Hud, those who believe with him, by mercy from us. May Allah save us too. And we saved them from a harsh punishment. Question, do we believe in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can save us from any and all torments if we come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَتِلْكَ عَادٌ. And that was Ad, who rejected the signs of their Lord and disobeyed Him. Disobeyed His messengers and followed the order of every Jabbar in Anid, obstinate tyrant. In other words, people have to follow. It is built in the system of people. They have this urge to follow someone, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those who turn away from Allah, they follow some tyrant. So this is what we see today. People love to follow. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not the people. Because in a hadith in Muslim Ahmad, we learn Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of judgment, they will come out of the fire, they will emerge from hell, a neck having two eyes that see, and two ears that hear, and a tongue with which it will speak, and it will say, I have been charged with three, I have been charged with three. Meaning what? What do we learn here? Meaning hellfire will speak and it will say that I have three, I have to take them in me. Every jabarin anid, meaning every obstinate, arrogant, oppressive tyrant. Secondly, each one who claims it Allah, another God. And thirdly, those who make pictures. Pictures of what? Pictures of living creatures. And this is hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Ayah number 60, and that we were therefore followed in this world with a curse, and as well as on the day of resurrection, unquestionably. And Ad denied their Lord, then away with Ad, the people of Hud, meaning they denied too. So the lesson from this paragraph is that make connection before giving dawah. And the way you see, notice in these things, all the prophets and anbiya first try to connect people. They say they're from them and they try to connect them. And then they give dawah, right? And we have to do istighfar in abundance. And sincere people do not expect anything in return. They do it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be an active da'i until the last breath. When I say da'i, become a da'i for your family, for yourself first, and then move on to your family circle. Ayah number 61 to 68, we learned the nation perished. And what do we learn here is there? The next nation, وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخْوَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. And to Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him. He has produced you from the earth and settled you in it. So ask forgiveness of Him and then repent to Him. Indeed, my Lord is near and responsive. I want you to highlight this last part. Inna Rabbi Qareebun Mujib. Meaning, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are grateful to Him and we seek forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near and responsive. You know why? Because people sometimes give up and they say, nothing is happening. Know that my Lord is near and responsive. Highlight this. Remember it. Memorize this phrase. Inna Rabbi Qareebun Mujib. Every time you feel despair, every time you feel hopeless, remind yourself, Inna Rabbi Qareebun Mujib. They said, O Salih, you were among us a man of promise before this. Do you forbid us to worship what our forefathers worship? And indeed, we are about that to which you invite us in disquieting doubt. He said, O my people, have you considered if I should be upon clear evidence from my Lord, and He has given me mercy from Himself, who would protect me from Allah if I disobeyed Him? Same question, same answer, which we learned in the previous ayahs. So, you would not increase me except in laws. Meaning, I cannot listen to you. I have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the answer we should be giving. I cannot listen to people. I have to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, O my people, this is the she-camel of Allah. She is to you a sign. Because, you know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them she-camel? Because they asked for a sign, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. What do we learn here? Never ask for sign, because sometimes people ask for signs and things, and when they get it, they're not able to handle it. This is exactly what happened in their case. So let her feed upon Allah's earth, and do not touch her with harm, and you will be taken by an impending punishment. When the she-camel came, it was big and huge, and she would eat up a lot of water, and they were running out of the food, and they said, you know what is this? We didn't ask for this problem. And they, you know what they did? Ayah number 65, but they hamstrung her, meaning they killed the camel. So he said, enjoy yourself in your homes for 3 days. That is a promise not to be denied. Meaning they called this punishment upon themselves by not taking care of the thing that they asked, the miracle, the she-camel. And once it came, they were not able to handle it. They still didn't believe. Lesson for us. No matter how much we ask, if we are given and we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, and just seek forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when our command came, we saved Salih and those who believe with him, Question. Do we want to be saved, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved other prophets and the believers? If we want to be saved, then we need to do the same sunnah of prophets. Buy mercy from us and save them from the disgrace of that day. Indeed, it is your Lord who is the powerful, the exalted in might. And the shriek seized those who had wronged. And who were the wrong ones? The Jabbarin uneven, the people who were arrogant. And the shriek seized those who had wronged, and they became within their homes corpses, fallen prone. Why? Because of their arrogance. This was the end for them. Ka'allam, ka'allam yabnu fiha. And if they had never prospered at their end, unquestionably, Thamud denied their Lord. Then away with Thamud. What do we learn in this paragraph? Allah perishes nations who disobey Him. Change happens slowly. People's iman go under over time. They don't lose their iman right away. Strive for strengthening the iman. Never claim something that you cannot do. Always, Allah is near and He listens to the du'as. No one can escape from Allah. Might as well submit yourself in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By inviting others to Allah's book. Ayah number 69 to 83, story of Lut alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam came to the nation who was involved in the homosexuality. Today we see this is so common in today's time in the Ummah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not even talking about non-Muslims here. I'm talking about this disease is in Muslims. And today we really need to share these ayahs with our people. You know why? Because our young generation don't even mind. They think it's normal. You know how they justify it? Once they actually normalize it by showing it in the media, they're making movies about it. They show the father as a parent, mother as a parent, and people, and the young kids, they see it from very young age. Even in cartoons, they have that. In Frozen cartoon, I think movie, somebody was telling me, if I'm not mistaken, that they are showing either two males or two females together. What do we learn here? They desensitize humans. And once they're desensitized, then religion doesn't matter. Then people, our young generation is also following this homosexuality things. And they justify by saying, it's a biological need. It is a requirement. What's wrong with that? People come. Young girls are questioning to their parents, what is wrong? And you know what? This gayism between the men and men was common. But now it's becoming very common between female and female. Girls and girls are becoming lesbian. May Allah really, truly save our ummah. Try to share these ayahs and be open in conversation with your kids, even if they're very young. They appear to you young, but they're not very young because they're learning and exposing everything out in the world out there. So you can judge your child's mindset and talk to them accordingly. How? Because if we don't tell them that this is not something that Islam allows, they will never know the seriousness of it, the severity of it. It is diluted in a society. Ayah number 69. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْ رُسُلَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ بِالْبُشْرَى. And certainly did our messenger came to Ibrahim alayhi salam with good tidings. They said, Salaman, peace. He said, peace, and did not delay in bringing them a rose cap. Here in this ayah number 69, we learn the rules of hospitality. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very good, hospitable person. And when angels came to him, how did he greet it? With salam and peace. This is how we need to do. How should the guest respond? With peace and salam. And as a host, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to serve whatever you have, the best thing possible. Don't people sometimes indulge themselves in elaborating so much that they work, overwork themselves and they make themselves very tired and they don't even have energy to talk to people. No, do the best you can. Whatever you have, serve them because guests are the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They bring the rahmah. Ayah number 70. But when he saw their hands not reaching for it, he distrusted them and he was afraid and fell from an apprehension. They said, fear not. We have been sent to the people of Lut. These angels came for the people of Lut. So why did they come to Ibrahim alayhi salam first? Because they wanted to give them the good news along the way, meaning they were doing two jobs in one trip. So it's okay. When we have two things in the mind, like for example, if we were going for Hajj and Umrah and on our way back decide to visit the family, it's okay. We can do that. So these angels did the same thing. And his wife was standing and she smiled. Why did she smile? Because upon realizing that they are the angels, we were getting worried and perhaps these are the they come here they have come here to harm us. They are in reality angels. And so she smiled of relief that no, they're not here to harm us. Then we gave her good tidings of Ishaq, and after Ishaq, Yaqub. How beautiful. The wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sarah, she was given this news. She said, woe to me, shall I give birth while I am an old woman? Remember, she was old, but what do we learn? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make anything happen. And this, my husband is an old man. Indeed, this is an amazing thing. She was mesmerized. She was amazed that how can it be possible? You know what the reply of angel was? In ayah number 73, the angel said, are you amazed at the decree of Allah? May the mercy of Allah and His blessings be upon you, O people of the house. Indeed, Allah is praiseworthy and honorable. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make anything happen. Why she was surprised? She was surprised because she had no child for a long time and she had a hard time believing it. And this is human. It happens. People have hard time. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a blessing, people are saying, wow, how come this is possible for me? I thought it was next to impossible. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Because this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah bestows upon anybody at any time. Ayah number 74. And when the fright had left Ibrahim, meaning that when he was apprehended, remember, he was scared that who are these people? And now the good tidings had reached to him. What good tidings? The news of a son. Because his wife was old and they had no children. He began to argue with us concerning the people of Lut. Now that Allah's mother took care of him and he was satisfied, he was not worried about his things anymore. So he asked about his cousin, Lut alayhi salam. Even though he got such a big news, but he was not like, now I don't have to worry about others. No, he worried about others. He asked the angels, what about Lut alayhi salam? He is a good person. And what we do when we are busy enjoying our goodness, we forget about others. We don't even feel the pain for others. We're too busy enjoying. What we learn here is that we need to worry about others, even in good times too. If Allah has bestowed you and I with some goodness, don't forget the poor people, the needy, the suffering people who are suffering out there. Remember them and help them out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inna Ibrahim al-Halimun awwahu mubeen. Indeed, Ibrahim alayhi salam was forbearing, grieving, and frequently returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highlight these qualities. May Allah make us and give us all these qualities too. Who was he? He was forbearing and grieving. He used to cry a lot and he was always coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was always turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Ibrahimo, the angel said, O Ibrahim, give up this plea. What plea? Indeed, the command of your Lord has come now, and indeed, there will be reached them a punishment that cannot be repelled. Meaning, when Ibrahim alayhi salam asked for this, that now how come you are going to hurt the Lut alayhi salam in this nation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, no, the matter has been decreed. It's going to happen. You cannot stop it now. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the thing that I most fear for my nation is the action of the people of the Lut. Today we see this action of the Lut in our ummah. So common listening to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us guidance and save our ummah from this act of homosexuality. And when our messengers, the angels, came to Lut, he was anguished for them and felt for them great discomfort. Why? Because they came in the form of men, and he knew that his people were into men-to-men relationship, and he was fearful that they will come and attack these men too. And he said, this is a trying day. He felt that this is a trial that comes to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lut alayhi salam was worried about that. Why? Because they knew, because he knew that something big is going to happen now. And his people came hastening to him. News traveled fast. Even though back then there was no TV, social media, radio or anything. But news traveled fast. As soon as these guests came to his house, somebody leaked the information. And his nation, his people running came to him. Oh, these beautiful men, that we can use them for our purpose. And before this, that they had been doing evil deeds. Listen. When a person commits haram, he is not satisfied with what he has. He always wants more and more and more. And it's never, he's never content with what they have. So even though they had men to men, they were available, but they were running for more. They wanted something more. He said, oh my people, these are my daughters. Meaning, Lut al-Islam said, do the halal relationship if you want it, then do it the right proper way. There are women available. He said, they are my daughters. They are purer for you, meaning choose the halal option. So fear Allah and do not disgrace me. Concerning my guests, is there not among you a man of reason? He's trying to reason with them. They said, you have already known that we have not concerning your daughters any claim, and indeed you know what we want. قَالَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةٌ. He said, if only I had against you some power, or I could take refuge in a strong support. Meaning, if I could fix you by force, I would do that. Because Lut alayhi salam was all alone, right? Nobody was with him. In ayah number 81, angel said, O Lut, indeed, we are messengers of your Lord. Because Lut alayhi salam was getting worried, so these angels told them that we are angels. Therefore, they will never reach us. So don't worry about us. They cannot harm us. So set out with your family during the portion of the night, and let not anyone among you look back except your wife. Indeed, she will be struck but by that which strikes them. Indeed, their point... Indeed, their appointment is for the morning. Is not the morning near? His wife didn't go because she didn't believe in Lut alayhi salam. See, you see the family thing? Over there we learn about the Nuh alayhi salam's son, and here we learn the wife. So, when our command came, we made the highest part of the city as the lowest and rained upon them stones of the layered hard clay marked from your Lord. And Allah's punishment is not from the wrongdoers very far. And from ayah number 84, we learn the story of Madian. And to Madian, we sent their brother Shu'aib. He said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no deity other than Him, and do not decrease from the measure and the scale. Indeed, I see you in prosperity, but indeed, I fear for you the punishment of all an encompassing day. And then, basically, the story continues. And, O my people, give full measures. For the people of Lut, the problem was what? The problem was homosexuality. For the people of, in this case, this problem is what? Bad business dealings. And, O my people, give full measures and weight in justice, and do not deprive the people of their due, and do not commit abuse on the earth, spreading corruption. They were having business dealings that were not halal, meaning they were earning income the haram way. Today we see this practice going on, very common. People actually say something and sell something else. All these marketing techniques also comes under that. All this false advertisement also comes under that. What remains lawful from Allah is best for you if you would be believers, but I am not guardian over you. Meaning I cannot force you, I can just only convince the message to you, right? They said, O Shu'aib, does your prayer command you that he should leave what our fathers worship, or not do with our wealth what we please? Indeed, you are forbearing the discerning. He said, O my people, look at the way they're addressing, right? He's addressing, this is what we learn. We need to address people. When we invite people to Islam and Quran, we need to connect and make the relationship. O my people, have you considered, if I am upon clear evidence from my Lord, and He has provided me with good provisions for Him, and I do not intend to differ from you in that which I am forbidding you, I only intend reforms as much as I am able, and my success is not but through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ama tawfiqi illa billah. Highlight this part. My success comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our success comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So, then which I have forbidden you, and I only intend reform. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Upon him I have relied, and to him I return. وَيَا قَوْمِي. And O my people, let not your dissension from me cause you to struck by that similar to what struck the people of Nuh, or the people of Hud, or the people of Saleh, and the people of Lut are not from you far away. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. What do we learn? And ask forgiveness and of your Lord, and then repent to him. Indeed, my Lord is merciful and affectionate. قَالُوا يَا شُعَيْبُ. Look at the response they have. They said, O Shoaib, we do not understand much of what you say, meaning we don't really know, we don't really get it, and indeed, we consider you among us as weak, and if not for your family, we would have stoned you to death, and you are not to us among respect now, us one respected, meaning they were ready to kill him. The only reason they didn't kill him yet, because he was belonging to elite family. And this is the, what the we see in this dunya. People have this attitude. They only care of the elites and the people who are on the high rank, or maybe are the wealthy people. He said, O my people, is my family more respected for power by you than Allah? Meaning, you care about my family, my lineage, my wealth and money, and whatever I have, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a lesson for us. This world's blessings means nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may be super rich in this world. We may have a best of the best lineage possible. But what matters in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you and I serve Allah's deen. But you put him behind your back in neglect. Indeed, my Lord is encompassing of what you do. And, O my people, work according to your position. Indeed, I am working. You are going to know to whom will come a punishment that will disgrace him, and who is the liar. So watch. Indeed, I am with you, a watcher, awaiting the outcome. What do we learn here? In this dunya, you can do whatever you want. Choice is ours. Meaning, either we can use our life, our skill, our things to really connect ourselves, our 5'6" body with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show this Quran on ourselves, and then display this Quran in our lifestyle, and then move on from there. And when our command came, we saved Shu'aib and those who believed with him by mercy from us, and the shriek seized those who had wronged, and they became within their homes corpses fallen prone. كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. And as if they had never prospered therein. This is what happens. No matter how successful people may appear in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that nothing matters. They are gone. They are perished. Then away with Madian, as Thamud was taken away. And then, now, inshallah, ayah number 96, we learn, and we did certainly send Musa with our signs and a clear authority. Now about Musa alayhi salam again, what do we learn here? And to Fir'aun and establishment, but they followed the command of Fir'aun, and the command of Fir'aun was not to all discerning. He will proceed. His people on the day of resurrection, and lead them into the fire, and wretched is the place to which they are led. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. So we do not follow. So we have to see, who do we follow today, right? Because this is the question. These people, the people of the Fir'aun, follow their leader blindly. What do we learn here? Do not follow your leader blindly. You may think that this leader may be a good leader. As long as he's from Quran and Sunnah, you can follow. But sometimes people just follow anybody and everybody. Sometimes they follow the personality. Sometimes they follow the lifestyle. Sometimes they follow some other things. And they forget that they need to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, or else they become people pleaser. They only follow so they can get the benefits of this dunya. He will precede his people on a day of resurrection, and lead them into the fire, and rest is the place to which they are led, and they were followed in this world with a curse on it, and the day of resurrection, and the rest is the gift which is given. ذلك من أنباء القرى نقصه عليه. That is from the news of the cities which we relate to you of them. Some are still standing and some are as the harvest moved down. And we did not wrong them, but they wronged themselves, and they were not availed at all by their gods which they invoke other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With there come the command of the Lord. And thus is the seizure of your Lord when he sees the cities while they are committing wrong. Indeed, his akhadun, that is painful and severe, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may save all of us from this bad ending. Inna fi dhalika la ayatan, indeed, in that is a sign for those who fear the punishment of the hereafter. That is a day for which the people will be collected. Majmu'un lahun nas. In this majma, in this collection of people, you and I will be there too. And that is the day which will be witnessed. Meaning it will be witnessed. وَذَلِكَ يَوْمٌ مَشْهُودٌ. And this is also one of the day, a name of the day. Why? Because we will be witnessed there. وَمَا نُؤَخِّرُهُ إِلَىٰ لِأَجَلٍ مَعْدُودٍ. And we do not delay it except for a limited term. Meaning it is not that far. It is about to come. The day it comes, no soul will speak except by his permission. Whose? Allah's permission. And among them will be the wretched and the prosperous. As for those who were destined to be wretched, they will be in the fire. For them therein is violent exhaling and inhaling. They will be abiding therein as long as the heavens and the earth endure, except what your Lord should will. Indeed, your Lord is an effector of what he intends. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything in his hand and he does what he wants. And as for those who were destined to be prosperous, they will be in paradise abiding therein as long as the heavens and the earth endure except what your Lord should will. A bestowal uninterrupted. فَلَا تَكُمْ بِفِي مِلْيَةٍ مِمَّا يَعْبُدُ هَؤُلَاءِ. So, do not be in doubt. Question. Do we have any doubt about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As to what these polytheists are worshipping, they worship not except as their fathers worshipped before, and indeed, we will give them their share undiminished. And we had certainly given Musa alayhi salam the scripture, but it came under disagreement. And if not for a word that proceeded from your Lord, it would have been judged between them. And indeed, they are concerning the Quran is disquieted doubt. And indeed, each of the believers and the disbelievers, your Lord will fully compensate them for their deeds. Indeed, he is acquainted with what they do. Fastaqim, so remain firm. Kama umirtu, on right course. Highlight this ayah number 112. Fastaqim kama umirtu. Why? Because this is we need to do. To remain firm on our deen, on the right course, as you have been commanded. Fastaqim kama umirtu. Now become firm as Allah has ordered you. Meaning, whatever Allah has ordered you, now do it. Because it is the proper way and it is the only way. And do not stop. وَمَنْ تَعْبَ مَعَكَ. And those who have turned back with you to Allah. وَلَا تَطْغَوُ. And do not transgress. إِنَّمَا بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Indeed, he is seeing of what you do. And do not incline towards those who do wrong, lest you be touched by fire. And you would not have other than Allah any protector. وَأَقِمَ الصَّلَاةِ. And establish prayer, and at the two ends of the day, and at approach of the night, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُزْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Indeed, good deeds do away with misdeeds. What do we learn here? When you do more good deeds, it eats away the bad deeds. Meaning, good deeds take over and bad deeds go away because of the good deeds you do. ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. And that is a reminder for those who remember. Meaning, not everybody will do this. Only those who remember, they will do that. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُزْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Meaning, give sadaqah, give extra good deeds, so that your bad deeds can be erased. And then, wasbir, next command. If you are numbering them down, these are all the things that we need to have in our lives, right? Step by step. واصبر and be patient. Yes, because life is hard. It's not easy. There are things that you and I need to do that are not easy to do. But واصبر. Highlight this word in ayah number 115 because this is the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be patient. People think it is a matter of their choice that they can be patient or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, واصبر and be patient. For indeed, Allah does not like and not allow to be lost the reward of those who do good. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضَيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You know why? Because sometimes people do good, and out of their impatience, they lose the reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your goodness will be going to waste, and Allah doesn't like it. So be patient, have sabr, and you will be rewarded. Ayah number 116. So why were there not among the generations before you those of enduring discrimination, forbidding corruption on earth, except a few of those we saved from among them? But those who wronged pursued what luxury they were given therein, and they were criminals. Allah SWT is demanding that there must be some people who would forbid corruption in the land. And who are these people? Who can do that? The one who knows the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So what do we learn here? We really need to do our part. Ayah number 117. And your Lord would not have destroyed the cities unjustly while their people were reformers. Meaning, if their good peoples are still there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't destroy it all completely. And if your Lord had willed, he could have made mankind one community, but they will not cease to differ. Except whom your Lord has given mercy, and for that he created them. But the word of your Lord is to be fulfilled, that I will surely fill hell with jinn and men altogether. May Allah save us from this. Ayah number 120, and each story we relate to you from the news of the messengers is that by which we make firm your heart, and there has come to you in this the truth and instructions and a reminder from the believer, for the believers. And say to those who do not believe, work according to your position. Indeed, we are working. And this is what we need to do. Just stay firm. Be persistent. وَقُلِ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ عَمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنَّا عَامِلُونَ وَانْتَصِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَصِرُونَ. And wait, indeed, we are waiting. And to Allah belongs the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth. And to Him we will be returned the matter, all of it. So worship Him. فَعْبُدُوهُ. And وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. And rely upon Him. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And your Lord is not unaware of what you do. What beautiful surah has ended. In this surah, if you summarize the whole surah, I know for some reasons, I don't know why the slides are not being uploaded. They are showing here, but subhanAllah, maybe this is also one of the problems that we get into sometimes, technical difficulties, or maybe shaitan is playing on us. So don't worry about it. You know why? Because when you're listening to it and when you're taking notes, it's enough. If the slides are not there, because slides is not the main purpose. Slides are just there for your visual effect, just to make you feel good. They don't really do anything. There's not much lessons written in there. You know why? Because you cannot really grasp everything in these slides. So the point I'm trying to make here is that in this whole surah, we learn about many prophets. The bottom line here is that we learn many techniques, and inshallah, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us time so we can learn this surah in detail, because so many things to learn, so many lessons from learning from all these surahs, all the humbleness that they had, all the determination they had, all the persistency they had, all the patience they had, all the endurance they had. We need to have all these things in order to survive successfully in this world. And inshallah, we're going to begin Suratul Yusuf, and we will listen to the recitation of the first few ayahs, and then we'll go from there. While you're listening to the recitation of Surah Yusuf, think and contemplate what we have learned so far, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. Inna anzalnahu Qur'an. قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سورة يوسف Surah Yusuf is a beautiful surah in Quran. This is one of the most beautiful surah. You know why? Because over other prophet stories, they come in portions and everywhere they're like broken in different areas. But Surah Yusuf, the whole story in by correct sequence come in one place. And in this surah, we learn so many things. This surah is very relevant to our daily lives. This surah talks about the relationship, the family issues, the sibling rivalry, the envy, the hasad, the attraction of daily life, when people are, men and women feel attracted to each other, and all these things that we learn from this surah, so many things we can apply. In fact, Surah Yusuf is a surah that can be elaborated over so, like 2-day seminar is not enough. 6 days class is not enough for this surah. This surah can be covered in so much detail. Maybe, you know what? Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after Ramadan, make it possible for you and I to really learn this surah only in detail. And then after that, maybe we can do the whole Quran. Because this surah by itself is such an amazing surah. It has so many lessons that we cannot even, justify this surah by just this one day. So maybe, inshallah, if you are interested in doing that after Ramadan, maybe we can offer something. Maybe you can email your admins and your class people, maybe they can do something for you, inshallah. I'm not promising anything, right? But I'm just saying that this is something we should long for, because we will know how to handle the situation that we get into in our daily life. When we see father and son not getting along, when we see sons running away, when we see all kinds of problems they're having with the opposite gender, how to handle it? What is it that made Yusuf alayhi salam save himself? And he was not in a Muslim environment. He was alone. His parents were not on top of his head to tell him what is right and what is wrong. So what was it that saved him? What was it that gave him enough hikmah? What was it that was so good in the father, Yaqub alayhi salam, that he was able to raise him like that? And what was it that kept his brother away and really sibling rivalry was created? So all these things, inshallah, we can learn in detail. But right now, let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah in our time so we're able to finish our lesson. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام را They are the verses of the clear book. Indeed, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran that you might understand. In ayah number 1-6, we will learn about Yusuf alayhi salam's dream. We relate to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of the stories in what we have revealed to you of this Quran. Although you were before it among the unaware. What do we learn here? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not know any unseen. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is telling you all these stories. Also, we learn here that Yusuf alayhi salam's story is very, very common among the people, right? The people of the Makkah. they knew about the story. So the mushrikeen are being told here, look, you are also just envious of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because you know that he is a prophet and you recognize him. Sorry, whatever I said, I don't know. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Let's start again. We relate to you, O Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best of the stories in what we have revealed to you of this Quran, although you were before it among the unaware. Is qala Yusuf li abihi ya abati. Oh, of these stories mentioned, and Yusuf said to his father, O my father, indeed, I have seen a dream. In a dream, 11 stars and the sun and the moon, I saw them prostrating to me. What do we learn in this thing? We learn first thing that the son is close enough to his father, meaning they had a relationship. He's not asking his friend that he's not telling his dream to his friend. He's telling to his father. That shows that a father and son relationship is so important because son goes outside and when they talk to other people, they get influenced by them. If a father and son has a good relationship, then the son, whatever their problem they might get into, the father is the first one they should confide their problems to. In this case, Yusuf alayhi salam saw a dream and he's feeling comfortable enough. Today, some fathers have this perception that they have to be very tough with their kids or else the kids are not going to listen to them. This is not right. You know, you can be tough on them when it comes to following the deen, but you have to be very nice and gentle and a friendly way that you can develop the friendship relationship so they can really have open heart and open mind and open communication, because this is the key to save the generation. Open communication for the sons with the father and for the mothers with the daughters. He said, O my son, do not relate your vision, your dream to your brothers. Why? Because he was warning him, because he was a prophet and he knew that this child is going to be a prophet. So he said, you know, as he knows that there's envy and there is hasad and enmity of people, so they might get jealous. This is why he was warning them. To your brothers, or they will contrive against you a plan. Indeed, shaitan to man is a manifest enemy. And thus will your Lord choose you and teach you the interpretation of the narratives and complete his favor upon you and upon the family of Yaqub. And he, as he completed it upon your fathers before Ibrahim and Ishaq, indeed, your Lord is knowing and wise. Father is telling the son that this is something really big. So you may be a prophet in the future. So you should be very careful. The fact is that the dreams are true sometimes. Inshallah, we'll talk about that. That there are three types of dreams. One is like your whatever person thinks. They don't mean anything, right? They are called hadith and nafs, meaning they're just your thinking. Whatever you're thinking during daytime, that's what you see. They don't have any meaning. But there are some dreams that are true dreams, and this is what one of the true dreams are. And some dreams are from shaitan, which are scary dreams, nightmares you call them. So what you're supposed to do when the dream is, when you see something in a dream, if it's a bad dream, then say astaghfar and don't really share with anybody because this is from shaitan. And if it's a good dream, if you want to know the interpretation, don't just share it with anybody and everybody, because whatever they will interpret, it will come true. So you should keep the interpretation to only share the dream to only them who you consider your well-wisher, because whatever they say, it will happen. So here in this case, the son did not share with anybody but the father, because father is the most and the best kind of well-wisher it can be, right? So inshallah. And he's warning him that you will be one day a prophet, so you should know. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Certainly, were there in Yusuf and his brother signs for those who ask? Meaning, this story has so many things to learn. إِذْ قَالُوا, when they said, لَيُوسُفَ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا. Yusuf and his brother are more beloved to our father than we. While we are clan, indeed, our father is in clear error. Look at this. Now, the question comes in mind, why these brothers are so much against of Yusuf and his brother? Because the mother was different. These brothers were stepbrothers. What do we learn? Raising of the mother has a very great role. You know why? Because these other brothers were raised by another mother, and this Yusuf and Binyamin, his real brother, were raised by the mother, and because of that, they had differences, and they became a good character people. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when our kids are obeying, father is going to love them more, right? So in this case, instead of realizing why their father doesn't like them, they are blaming Yusuf. What do we learn? Do not have the blaming game. So Yusuf and his father are more beloved to our father than we, while we are a clan, meaning they are proud and they are arrogant and they are saying we are big in number, still our father doesn't like them. And instead of thinking something wrong with them, they are saying this, there is something wrong with our father. They said, kill Yusuf. If it, in this, from ayah number 7 to 20, we're learning the similarities between Yusuf alayhi salam and the brother, Yusuf alayhi salam's brother and the people of the Makkah. They said, kill Yusuf or throw him out to another land, the face of your father, and will then be only for you, and you will be after that a righteous people. Doing something wrong doesn't mean that you will earn the love of father. Instead of obeying, coming, repenting, asking, and being humble, they're planning and plotting against. Do you think this is how the love is gained? No. And they were doing totally opposite of what can earn the love of father to them. Why? Because people blame others and people think that their failure is because of other people. Lesson for us. Failure is done by own deeds. It doesn't matter what others do. As long as you can learn yourself to take the responsibility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the disease of the nation before you is creeping towards you, envy and hatred. It is the Haliqa. It is the destroyer. Meaning, what is that? Haliqa is a jealousy and hatred. Because Haliqa is, and I do not speak of what cuts the hair. Haliqa is that which shaves the hair, right? This word. But he says that I am not talking about that. I am talking about jealousy that will sever and that will shave off deen. Meaning, this jealousy, enmity, hatred really eats up the deen. So important to take this crate of jealousy from you and I. Because this destroys people, this destroys organizations, this makes people fight with each other, this makes people compete with each other instead of agreeing with each other. If they dislike each other, they become jealous of each other, they cannot work together. And when people cannot work together, nations cannot become one ummah. When nations don't become one ummah, we see as a result what's going on. قَالَ قَائِلُ مِنْهُمْ, said a speaker among them. Who was this? One of the brother. Do not kill Yusuf, but throw him into the bottom of the well. Some travelers will pick him up, and if you would do something, meaning he had some niceness in him, so he said, no, don't throw him, just save him. They said, O our father, why do you not entrust us with Yusuf, while indeed we are to him sincere counselors? You see, someone who's sincere does not need to say this, right, sincere. But since they were not sincere, so they need to prove it by saying it. They said, send him with us tomorrow, that he may eat well and play. And indeed, we will be his guardians. Meaning, why don't you just let him go with us and we can take care of him. Yaqub alayhi salam said, indeed, it saddens me that you should take him. And I fear that wolf would eat him while you are of him unaware. Why did he say that? Because he didn't want to send him, right? But he was saying, I'm not saying that you are the one who's not going to take care. Instead, he put the blame on a wolf, right? They said, if a wolf should eat him while we are strong clan, look at the arrogance. Indeed, we would then be losers, meaning they were, since they were lying, so they had to prove that no, you have to send him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here that, you know what, lying is not something that we should be doing. Why? Because they got this idea, no, we are a big strong clan and we're going to take care of them. But they were lying because this is not the intention there to begin with, right? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does not give up false statement and evil deeds and speak bad words to others, then Allah is Allah is not in need of his fasting. So what we learned here, we are fasting right now. We should not be lying. We should be very careful in what we say. Because sometimes people say and do things not even meaning it. So these brothers wanted to take Yusuf, and they got the idea from their father that when the father said, oh, I am afraid that wolf is going to eat, so this is exactly what happened. So when they took him out and agreed to put him into the bottom of the well, but we inspired him, you will surely inform them someday about this affair of theirs while they do not perceive your identity. Look at this. Yusuf alayhi salam is alone in the well, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him assurance that it's okay. This time will pass and the good time will come and someday you will be somebody. So you don't want to show them your identity and just stay quiet, do sabr. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comforting Yusuf alayhi salam. He was a child, right? And he was thrown in a well. Don't you think he should be screaming, crying, yelling? But he didn't. Why? Because Allah inspired him. Why? Because when there's a goodness in the person's heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them. And then they came to their father at night, weeping. Now the plan continues. What did they say? They said, oh, our father, indeed, we went racing each other and left Yusuf with our possession and a wolf ate him. See? This is exactly what they're saying. But you would not believe us, even if we were truthful. Again, they're lying, right? Because now they're trying to prove that they're not lying. So this is why they have to say this. And they brought upon his shirt false blood. Yaqub alayhi salam said, rather, your souls have enticed you to something. So patience is most befitting for Sabrun Jameel. What is patience? Sabrun Jameel, Yusuf alayhi salam's father had. Patience is not that crying and yelling and screaming and then say for Sabrun Jameel. Sabrun Jameel is the one who has sabr right away, right there, right then. No complaints. And this is what the Sabrun Jameel is. So no one should know what is going on in your heart. This is what Sabrun Jameel is. No one should, not even the person sitting next to you, they should know that you are hungry or you are in need. This is what Sabrun Jameel is. For Sabrun Jameel, Yaqub alayhi salam, he will observe beautiful, beautiful patience. What we learn here is that if we practice sabr, we have to practice on this quality for sabr and jameel. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. Notice, he doesn't say, I know you're lying. He doesn't confront them. He doesn't confront them at all. He just deals with them with patience. Question. It's not easy to deal with that. Like that, right? We are very confrontational. We say, how come you did this? Why are you doing this? We yell at our children. So let's make the art and let's not give us Sabrun Jameel. Ayah number 19. And there came a company of travelers. Then they sent their water drawer and he let down his bucket. He said, good news. Here is a boy. And they concealed him, taking him as merchandise. And Allah was knowing of what they did. And they sold him for a reduced price, because they didn't know, right, how valuable this child is, a few dirhams. And they were concerning him, and of those content with a little. Lesson from this paragraph we learn is this. Don't do wrong in anticipation of receiving good news, right? Because some people do that. Envy makes bigger sins appear insignificant. They were so jealous that they didn't even mind killing their own brother. Allah gives good tidings to people of Iman, and even in dark times. Yusuf alayhi salam was in a dark well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted him. Blaming attitude shows that Iman level is very low. And the father should not let the child go away from him. The sons were really wrong, right? The father could have yelled at him with the brothers that, how can you do this? Plan to kill the child and this and that. And you killed him and you left him. Now go away from my side. And this is what people say. I don't like you, what you do. I don't like what you wear. I don't like what you do. To get out from my house. No, this is not what a father should do. What is apparent is not what we may think of it is. Meaning, it appears to be something very big happened, but Allah knew that it was something, that the plan was the plan of Allah, right? So we need to learn here this. And the news of his son's death didn't weaken his iman. He stayed steadfast on his iman, Yaqub alayhi salam. And these sons actually hurt the parents. So we learn here that do not hurt your parents, make dua for them instead. And do not envy your siblings. If they are loved more, if it appears to be like that, do not envy them. In ayah number 21 to 29, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam's good-looking handsomeness became his trial. What we learn in this paragraph that sometimes whatever you're good at, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you that your trial. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ And the one from Egypt who brought him said to his wife, make his residence comfortable. And what do we learn here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the plan for the Yusuf alayhi salam to live comfortably in Egypt. Make his residence comfortable. Perhaps he will benefit us or we will adopt him as a son. This was the comfort Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving him in the house where he was living comfortably as if he was a son. We established Yusuf in the land and we might teach him the interpretation of the events. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established Yusuf. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ You know, sometimes what is apparent, we go by that. But this was the plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established him in the land. You know why? Because this is where he was going to give the da'wah. He needed to learn how to deal with the finances of the country and stuff. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned it this way. Ayah number 22. And when Yusuf reached maturity, we gave him judgment and knowledge, and thus we rewarded the doers of the good. And thus we established Yusuf in the land that we might teach him the interpretation of the events. And Allah is predominant. Allah is predominant over his affairs, but most of the people do not know. And when Yusuf reached maturity, we gave him judgment and knowledge, and thus we reward the doers of the good. And you know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him all this? Because he was a muhsin. He was a muhsin. And muhsin is the one who does everything at the level of excellence. And she, in whose house he was sought to seduce him, meaning this woman, the wife of the Aziz of Misr, she tried to seduce him. Why? Because his beauty became his test. What do we learn? The blessing that we consider as a blessing, they may be our test. We may be very happy with those blessings, but they may be the test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. She closes the door and said, come you. He said, I seek the refuge of Allah. Indeed, he is my master who has made good my residence. Indeed, wrongdoers will not succeed. So why did he not listen to her call? He was young. He was beautiful. He was alone. He was teenage. And nobody was watching him. What stopped him? Burhan, the knowing of Allah, the taqwa. And today also, if we can develop taqwa in our kids, that can save us. We think that what we put restrictions, we put some kind of a firewall so they cannot watch these things and that. But we don't work on developing taqwa first. First, we have to develop the love of Allah. Only then they are saved. And she certainly determined to seduce him and he would have inclined to her. But had he not seen the proof of his Lord? And thus it was that we should avert from him evil and immorality. Indeed, he was our chosen servant. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. In a hadith, we learn that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after me, I have not left any trial more severe to men than women. For a man, being around a woman is the hardest trial. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Yusuf alayhi salam from this hardest trial, even though nobody was watching him. Today also, when our kids go out, when we send them to universities and colleges, do we prepare them? Do we tell them about these trials? Do we share this story of Yusuf alayhi salam with them? Ayah number 25. And they both raced to the door and she tore his shirt from the bag. Why she tore the shirt? Because she was trying to stop him. And why he was running? Because he was running away out of this room. And they found her husband at the door. She said, what is the recompense of what one who intended evil for your wife, but that he be imprisoned or a painful punishment? Look how she changed. She was the one who was seducing. And she changed the story to save herself. Yusuf said, it was she. She sought to seduce me, even though Yusuf was a young boy, but he had enough courage to speak up for the truth. And a witness from her family testified, if his shirt is torn from the front, then she should told the truth, and he is of the liars. But if his shirt is torn from the back, then she is lying and he is of the truthful. So when her husband saw his shirt torn from the back, indeed, it is of the woman's plan. Indeed, your plan is great. Yusuf alayhi salam ignores this, seeks forgiveness for your sin, and indeed you were of the sinful. What do we learn in this paragraph? We learn here that Allah tests us with our blessings. Test becomes means of growth. As in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, he was tested by throwing in a well, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him grow such in such a way that he got knowledge to, later on we will learn, he managed the finances of the country. And also Allah's plans works mysteriously. It may seem very wrong, right? But this was the plan, and it did have the goodness at the end of the day. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us judgment and knowledge, because these are the two qualities were given to Yusuf alayhi salam. And of course, the taqwa of the Yusuf alayhi salam saved him from falling into shaitan's trap. So this is what we need to work on. When Allah chooses someone, he protects. And the plan, Allah's plan is a truthful plan. And know the difference between love and lust. Because this woman, she did not have any love. Today, our girls and boys, they think when somebody says, oh, you look pretty, they think they're in love. It is not love, it is lust. This communication needs to be done with our boys and girls, so they are aware of the challenges of the society. And also, Allah clears the accusations if you rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam's, in his case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one of their family member clear him, right? So this is what happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared the accusation sooner or later. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the correct decision-making power. Yusuf alayhi salam was in the pressure. He could have made the wrong decision, but he didn't. You know why? Because this is also a hikmah that we need to ask for. Ayah number 30 to 35, environment didn't affect Yusuf alayhi salam. And woman in the city said, the wife of Al-Aziz is seeking to seduce her slave boy. He has impassioned her with love. Indeed, we see her to be in clear error. Woman, of course, news like this travels so fast. So all the city knew, the city woman knew that they were making fun of this wife of Aziz. So when she heard of their scheming, who, the wife of Aziz, when she heard about her friends, they're talking about her, she sent for them and prepared for them a banquet and gave each one of them a knife and said to Yusuf, come out before them. And when they saw him, they greatly admired him and they cut their hands. Why? Because in the awe, when they saw the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, by mistake, they cut the hand. Instead of apple, they cut their own hand and said, perfect is Allah. That is not a man. That is none but a noble angel. She said, this is the one about whom you blame me. Look at the tone. Basically, she's saying, you were blaming me for this. See, now you cut your own hand. That means you know that this boy is too beautiful to let him go. And I certainly sought to seduce him, but he firmly refused. Notice here, Yusuf alayhi salam firmly refused to get into this act. And if he will not do what I order him, he will surely be imprisoned and will be of those debased. He said, my Lord, prison is more to my liking that to which they invite me. And if you do not avert from me their plan, I might incline towards them and thus be of the ignorant. So his Lord responded to him and averted from him their plan. Indeed, he is the hearing and the knowing. Then it appeared to them after they had seen the signs that Al-Aziz should surely imprison him for a time. What did we learn in this paragraph? A teenage Yusuf made dua to be protected. This is what we need to do. And there's a hadith that seven people will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the category is a man who is called by a woman of rank and beauty. And he says, I fear Allah. And this is what we need to teach and learn. Even though this woman, the wife of Misr, she was of a high rank and she may be the beautiful one too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach Yusuf alayhi salam and saved him. You know why? Because of taqwa. When a person fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is saved. So what we need to do, develop taqwa, work on taqwa, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I taqwa. Allah can save us in any situation. The situation for Yusuf alayhi salam was very tough. He was a boy, he was not even from their family, and the case was between the wife of Aziz and Misr and the boy. So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala saved it. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala can save anyone from any situation if we truly rely upon Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. And Allah's plans are the greatest ones, and Allah knows everything. Ayah number 36-42. We learn here. And there entered the prison. In this paragraph, we will learn that Yusuf al-Islam earned the title of Muhsin in the prison, even though he was in the prison. You know, when people go to prison, or when we are somewhere, we just make excuses. Oh, we can't, this and that. Yusuf al-Islam was in the prison, but he portrays the best of his character, and he let the people know that even in prison, he had the best conduct. And there entered the prison with him two young men. One of them said, indeed, I have seen myself in a dream pressing wine. The other said, indeed, I have seen myself carrying upon my head some bread from which the bird were eating. Inform us of its interpretation. Inna naraka minal muhsinin. Highlight this. What are they saying? We see you. Indeed, we see you to be of those who do ihsan. And this is the reputation he had, Yusuf alayhi salam, inside the prison. Ayah number 37, he said, you will not receive food that is provided to you, except that I will inform you of its interpretation before it comes to you. That is from what my Lord has taught me. Indeed, I have left the religion of a people who do not believe in Allah, and they in the hereafter are disbelievers. What do we learn here? Instead of Yusuf alayhi salam giving the answer right away, he took the opportunity to do da'wah. And this is what we learn here. Take advantage of the situation that you are in. Just do not help the person, but use that time to give them at least message of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have followed the religion of my fathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub. And it was not for us to associate anything with Allah. That is from the favor of Allah upon us and upon the people. But most of the people are not grateful. He said, O my two companions of prison, are separate lords better or Allah? See? He is using this time to give them the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one, the prevailing, al-wahid al-qahar, or more than one, right? So this is the way we should be using the opportunities to talk about religion. Ayah number 40, you worship not besides him except mere names. You have named them, you and your fathers, for which Allah has sent down no authority. Legislation is not but for Allah. He has commanded that you worship not except him. And that is the correct religion, but most of the people do not know. He did khutbah, short, small, precise, and to the point. And then he gave the answer of the interpretation of the dream. O two companions of prison, as for one of you, he will give drink to his master of wine. But as for the other, he will be crucified, and the birds will eat from his head. And the matter has been decreed about which you both inquire. And he said to the one whom he knew would go free, mention me before your master. But Shaitan made him forget the mention to his master, and Yusuf remained in prison several years. Yusuf al-Islam tried to plan, and he took the resources, and he tried to tell this man, when you go out, let them know so they can do something about me. So he actually used the resources, but you know what? Whatever happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he goes only, then things happen. So this person, even though Yusuf alayhi salam told him, but he forgot. So what do we learn from this paragraph? Yusuf took the opportunity to do the da'wah alayhi salam, and we need to do the same. And develop an excellent character no matter which situation you are in. Some people blame the society. Some people blame the family. My mother-in-law is so tough. That's why I give up. That's why I burst out. My husband abuses me. That's why I burst out. My children don't take care of me. That's why I do what I do. No, you have to show your utmost character wherever you are. And know your audience. Understand their mindset. Yusuf al-Salam talked to them according to their understanding. And First, invite them to the goodness before you stop them for evil. This is also one of the characteristics or steps that you can take towards the da'wah. Don't start with bad things, stopping them, but only tell them the good things first. And then Allah knows the right time of everything. Things don't happen according to our schedule. They happen according to Allah's schedule. And dreams, of course, we already learned that they are of three types, and use skills in the right places, no matter where you are. In ayah number 43 to 49, we learn Allah's plans are perfect. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ سِمَانٍ. And the king said, indeed, I have seen in dream seven fat cows being eaten up by seven that were lean, and seven green spikes of grain, and others that were dry. O eminent ones, explain to me my dream, if you should be interpret dreams. Meaning he asked his people, because he was worried about this dream. This dream seems so real, so he wanted to know the interpretation, but his people didn't knew that. They said, it is but a mixture of false dreams, and we are not learned in the interpretation of the dream. But the one who was freed and remembered after a time said, I will inform you of its interpretation, so send me forth. This was the same person. Remember, he was supposed to get the job in the kings, so this is what he did. And that's when he remembered Yusuf alayhi salam after so many years. He said, Yusuf, O man of the truth. So the story is skipped in the middle, that he came to Yusuf and he asked Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, he was the one who forgot to tell other people about Yusuf alayhi salam, right? So Yusuf alayhi salam should be mad when he came back, but no. This is why he was Mohsin. He did not complain. How come I told you something and you forgot it? Because of you forgetting, I'm in the prison for so many years. But no, he didn't say that. He said, Yusuf, O man of truth, Yusufu ayyuha sadiq. Meaning, Yusuf alayhi salam's reputation of the man of the truth was also, explain to us about seven fat cows eaten by seven that were lean, and seven green spikes of grain, and others they were dry, that I may return to the people. Perhaps they will know about you. Notice here, he shared the dream exactly word for word, because the dream has to be something that happens exactly if you say it the way it is. So when you transfer the dream to somebody, you have to be exact. Yusuf alayhi salam said, you will plan for 7 years consecutively, and what you harvest, leave in spikes, except a little, from which you will eat. Then will come after that 7 difficult years, which will consume what you save for them, meaning the famine will hit your country, and then you have to plan for it, except a little, from which you will store. Then will come after that a year in which a people will be given rain, and in which they will press olives and grapes. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِي بِهِ. Basically, in this paragraph, we learn that dreams are from Allah, and don't share bad dreams. They come reality. And Yusuf alayhi salam didn't complain to this person who came to ask him after so many years, and rely upon Allah, and the reputation matters. So in ayah number 50, we learn, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اُتُونِي بِهِ. And the king said, bring him to me. But when the messenger came to Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam said, return to your master and ask him, what is the case of that woman who cut their hands? Indeed, my lord is knowing of their plan. Why did he do that? If we were in his place, we would come out right away. But no, he worried about his reputation. You know why? Because he had a bigger job to carry later on. So our lesson for us, reputation does matter, so we need to be worrying about it. Yusuf alayhi salam did not rush out because he wanted to clear his position. Said the king to the woman, what was your condition when you sought to seduce Yusuf? They said, perfect is Allah. We know about him, no evil. The wife of Al-Aziz said, now the truth has become evident. It was I who sought to seduce him, and indeed, he is of the truthful. That is so, that Aziz will know that I did not betray him in his absence, and that Allah does not guide the plan of betrayer. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared his position, and this is what required by us. So the lesson from these ayahs are, Allah makes a way out. We just have to be patient. Also, rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for us. Also, be truthful in any situation. It doesn't matter if you're mad or you're angry or you're unhappy. Be truthful. Also, helps those who are Allah helps those who are muhsin. So develop an utmost character of ihsan and Allah's help will come, inshallah. And there is always a right time for everything. It was not the right time for Yusuf alayhi salam to come right away. This is why the person did not remember to tell about Yusuf alayhi salam. So patiently wait for the right time. There is a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning of it is one of the very great deed when a person waits for a good time. So be patient and Allah's help will come, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And the last slide, you say the dua. Say the dua, inshallah. اللهم إني أسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمت منه وما لم أعلم وأعوذ بك من شر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمت منه وما لم أعلم. And in the next slide, in the beginning, remember, we were supposed to sign the contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we're supposed to take the job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So how do we do this job? Here are some baby steps that we can take. Never assume that it's such a huge job, I cannot do it. Anybody can do on their own level, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you and I about our own level, not from the level of the people. So number one thing we can do is help each other in learning Quran and Sunnah. This is where we start. This is the first step we can take. Number two, it is very important to take others along, because alone you cannot go too far. So you have to have a company that is like-minded around you who can support each other. Number three, either become muhajir or ansar, or else we're going to become munafiq. May Allah save us from those. So either you migrate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you become a helper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Or next point we can remember is that if we're feeling lazy, then know that ignorant ones is no more than the cattle in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What it means is that the people who are lazy, who don't do anything, they ignore things, for them they're like cattle, meaning they're like animal. So we don't want to be in that label, right? So we need to move up. And in the last slide, you see the take-home message. Look forward to sign a job contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making dua. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika astaghfiruka. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا وحسن جزاء سيدة فائزة. الحمد لله رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you immensely and grant you complete health, alhamdulillah, and make everything easy for you. Ameen summa ameen. Yes, sisters. Such beautiful surahs, so many lessons, subhanAllah. Yeah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, alhamdulillah. Tawfiq billah, we were able to complete our today's target. Beautiful surahs, so many lessons. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us act upon them. We learned these stories of different prophets, right? And we learned the reason those nations were perished off from the planet Earth. It was not the history lesson we were given, but we were told, so we refrain from those actions if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. I want you to share one thought that touched your heart, or you need to work on, or anything that just you need to mention. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We all are encouraged, sister. Alhamdulillah. Indeed, taqwa can save us from sinning. Indeed, indeed. No doubt about that. We must be humble and develop taqwa. Yes, alhamdulillah. Don't share your dream. Yes, inshallah. Ta'ala. You can share, but whom you trust. And then they're about to give you the right outcome. Relationship with my children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with our blessings, as becomes means of growth and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't hurt your parents. Alhamdulillah, do more istighfar. Yeah. That is the art of the need of the hour. Allah is responsible for every creature. Do not make yourself the slave of provisions. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This is so very important too. Do dawa. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Allah test us with our blessings. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. You know what? I was thinking that any action we need to work on, we can make a note of it and then we can put wherever we can see it in, on that like fridge or on any cabinet or anything. Need to work on sabr, develop excellent character, be humble. Yes, alhamdulillah. Also, I mean, that way, whenever you pass through that area, and you can just look and then keep on reminding yourself. It's a reminder. And then eventually when you you think you have grasped that concept enough, you know, then you work on the next one. So help each other in learning Quran. Don't envy siblings. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Helping each other learning Quran is such a noble deed. Alhamdulillah. It is, you are making sabqa jariya for yourself. Alhamdulillah. And you know, when you write these points, maybe somebody else cannot think of that, but when they see your point, and then they can think, and then it will be sabka jariya for you too. So never shy away from writing anything, whatever clicks. Develop a friendly relationship with your kids. Give them advice when needed. Alhamdulillah, Allah is the perfect timer for everything. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Yes, sisters. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from us. Sign contract with Allah and let Him guide us, show us the purpose of our life, job in the world. Be humble, follow Quran and Sunnah. Stay firm with Deen Ibrahim. Alhamdulillah, you have summarized the whole session today. Alhamdulillah. Be patient. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this from us and then reward us immensely. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us more opportunities to do good. Inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to do repentance, do istighfar. Ya Allah, we can't hide anywhere from you. Forgive us. Hide all our shortcomings, even our darkest secrets. Ya Allah, do not make them apparent. Ya Allah, save us from the trials of this dunya. Help us prepare for our test of akhirah. Ya Allah, grant us hikmah to not misuse our blessings, and may we develop taqwa within ourselves. Ya Allah, make the test of our blessings means of our growth. Ya Allah, accept this tiny effort from us. Accept our worships, our fastings, and make us Muhsin. Ameen, Thumma Ameen. Take good care of yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any and every shar and evil there is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the shar of shaitan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us more tawfiq to learn His book and act upon it. Ameen, Summa Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa hasan jaza. If life and health permitted, inshallah wa ta'ala, we'll see you all tomorrow. Take care of yourself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wasalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Watub alayna, watub alayna, watub alayna. Innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala rasuli khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته اللهم لك الحمد أنت نور السماوات والأرض